Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to episode number 219 of the Ant King Frequency. Sorry in advance if I found if I sound a little bit nasally and a bit messed up. It's because I am.
Same here. Me too, man. Me and Antonio. I visited some family and they can't raise their kids properly, so I get a kid, one of the little plague carriers, coughs right in my face one time, and now I feel like death warmed over.
And thanks to the MK Ultra project, now I'm sick too.
Yes. Well, it's like one of those things. It's a uncivilized child coughs in North Carolina, the butterfly flaps its wings, Antonio gets sick in Australia, so there you go. We got that same kind of thing going down.
Not quite. All weekend. Not quite of the same proportions as the original, but yeah, I'll pay it.
I've been miserable, man. I don't know about you, but it's like the worst part is like when your bones ache and everything, the only thing I think of is like, yeah. I was thinking, okay, you know, this is how Wolverine feels like. And it's like kind of maybe semi-off topic or whatever, or I don't even really know what your topic is. You kept it kind of dark. But when you think about it, Wolverine, they took out each and every one of his bones. That means the plates in the skull. That means the metatarsals. They took out every single bit of bone, basically dipped it in adamantium and put it back. That's why they had his, like, each part of his body flayed open and held open like not forceps, but you know the thing to keep the
dilators. The flesh.
Yeah, exactly. And then like just placing it back in there, and then they placed the
calipers.
Yeah, and then the mechanical device for the claws themselves that were embedded between the forearm bones and everything. It's kind of horrific when you think about it. It's like Wolverine. So you got this metal that's poisoning you.
Well, you're saying there's a mechanical device there. I mean, post-Wolverine Origins tells you that device was never there.
I don't count that because that's garbage, because that's Joe Quesada thing. Wolverine Origins does not exist. My headcanon?
In your headcanon, fine. But I mean, in Marvel's headcanon since 2006, I want to say, was it?
Doesn't exist. This doesn't exist. Never did exist.
Oh, heck, it was even earlier. It was back when
2002,
I was buying comics. Yep. Yeah, it was 2001, 2002.
Yeah, it's one of the worst ideas to do. It's like, hey, let's this mysterious character. No, he was a little weakling in a dress that was a bastard. Yeah, so that's thanks, Joe Quesada. Thanks for taking the mystery out of a character. But I'm just imagining like what Wolverine feels like. He's got to think with the metal and all that stuff because it's not natural. It'd be like feel like arthritis all the time, or your bones ache, like the pain. Wolverine can heal, but that doesn't mean what do you think he drinks all the time to dull the pain?
Well, that was the beauty of that Logan film. It brought to the fore these notions that fanboys have been glossing over for the longest time, that he was this unstoppable killing machine. He's not.
Well, the Wolverine did it as well. It's like they showing him, he's like bleeding. He's like a stuck pig. He's like just bandage after bandage after bandage.
I watched that again recently, and gosh darn it, if they didn't have that Viper character in there, it would be a flawless film. I know you don't think much of the Silver Samurai.
I've come around to it a bit, but at the end of the day, it'd be right. It still was right next. It's the second best X-Men related film.
Yeah.
Because the number one would be Logan.
Agreed.
So, yeah. I'm trying to think what would be the third one, because I hate Deadpool now. I hate Deadpool the first one. I hate Deadpool 2.
Oh, why is that?
I hate everything.
You were so mad on them.
Yeah. And then I watched Deadpool 2 and it just, again. And watched Deadpool 2 once in the theater. Laughed and had a good time. And I was like, couldn't breathe. I was having that good of a time. I was laughing, certain stuff. Watched it again. I'm like, this isn't funny. This is just stupid. Because it's the saturation level. It's the Family Guy thing. Hey, remember this? Hey, joke about this, joke about that. It's like, not even the Colossus Juggernaut fight was cool. And a Cable, they turn him into just a walking joke. It's like, you know, there's a little bit of and then of course they got to make it comedic.
Yeah,
you know, then they got to. It's the hollow. You know, I'm basically done with X-Men. I want to see New Mutants, of course, because I'm the only one who wants to see that.
I don't think you're ever going to see it, but yeah, go on.
Probably not. Who cares at this point? Ah, hell with it all.
But funnily enough, your rant kind of ties into where I wanted to head this ship today. As you know, but the listeners don't, I ordered in a couple of copies of our comic book, the 4-page Surgeon's Song, printed in Alterna Comics. It came out on a Wednesday, issue 7, an anthology series. I used to go to this huge, based in the middle of the city, comic book store called Minotaur. Has everything, one of those pop culture meccas. Real kind of hub for that kind of thing. And lo and behold, I looked on their online ordering and they didn't order any Alterna. So I looked around and I found there are a few smaller comic shops doing it, and one of them actually not too far from me. So I'd heard of these places before. I'd actually been following them on Facebook for some time. And I booked it in. This is Incognito Comics in Cheltenham, if you're familiar with Melbourne. And yeah, they had two copies there in store, which I was able to reserve, and I got one of them, you know, Mylar bagged, and the other one they put in a bag all the same for me, but I haven't kept it in that. That's been my reading one, you know, to show my boys and stuff. Anyway, so long story short, Saturday I went in to go pick it up, and I thought, you know what, I could start something here. I'm going to take my 5-year-old. And I'm going to start him on his first monthly comic. Because I love comics at that age. And I only really got them when I was sick. And my grandmother would get them for me. And I never had that continuity. I never had a monthly because my parents just thought they were rubbish. And would never back that kind of thing. So I'd love for him to get that episodic nature. Now, rhetorical question. Larry King, do you think I could find anything of a monthly episodic nature that was even remotely suitable for kids?
Yeesh. 25 years ago, maybe, but now, considering, I know the prices in Australia are insane. We're dealing with like $8 an issue.
$8 an issue. That's right. Spot on. That's exactly what. And I was prepared to do that. I was prepared to spend $8 an issue. I didn't think that was untoward. You know, I'd even cop out the obligatory $12 for the annual whenever it came out each year. You know, I'd budgeted for that. This is special. This is going to be his first monthly. Come on, Larry.
But my thing is, I'm very like. I was on board for, you know, it wouldn't be age appropriate. I don't think it'd probably be a little too heavy. Hawkman. I was loving Hawkman until I found out that issue 13, the one was like really moving and all that stuff. The artist on that, he's not on 14 or 15, but Pat Olive is, who did Spider-Girl and other Marvel comics back in the late 90s, early 2000s. And it's a tie-in to event going on in DC. Is it? Yeah, I don't think I could. I'm gonna give it one issue. If it doesn't hook me, I'm gonna drop it because I'm not gonna be. I'm much more discerning when it comes to what to buy. But dude, it's a wasteland out there as far as content goes. You can't hand over X-Men murdering people left and right. There's a lot of it's just subpar art, subpar writing. So, and even here in the States, it's like $5 an issue now. It's like it's crazy. So it's probably like $11 there right off the bat.
But I remember even 10 years ago, there was, you know, Young Justice, Teen Titans, or Teen Titans Go comic books. There were books aimed at younger readers, not necessarily 5-year-olds. That tween market, which a 5-year-old could easily just ape along and learn the method, I guess.
Well, hold on a second. I actually think I might be able to help out with this. I was given recently, within the past 2 weeks. I'm gonna try not to pull the cord out of the. Here we go. All right, I was given this, and I looked through it, and I just flung it to the wall because I'm like, who gives a shit? If pardon my French. Mm-hmm. It is the Marvel free previews for September.
Oh, good, because this is going to feed exactly into my where I'm heading with this. But before I get there, I showed my son all the floppies on the wall and said, "Well, what jumps out? Who do you like?" And he goes, "Superman's the strongest, isn't he?" And I went, "Yeah." And he says, "Well, I want Superman." So we ended up getting this Bendis joint.
Okay.
Which features Crypto, which I thought, hey, that's nice, and Kara Zor-El. Zod's in there. Now, there's this guy, Mr. Oz, who's also Jor-El, who talks like a hipster with a shaved mohawk. It was the most convoluted, complex stuff. When we got home, that was one of two comics we got. When we got home, he said, you can have this one, Daddy. I'm going to keep the other one. The other comic we got was a Marvel reprint of Spider-Ham Adventures.
Oh, the True Believers.
That's the one. Yep. So, and that he actually likes. He thinks Bunny Hulk is the funniest thing ever. So
I think he'd probably love the Captain Carrot and Zucru.
Yeah.
Those old.
He would. But do you think anything like that exists anymore?
Anymore? I remember there was a comic. I don't even know if it's in print anymore or if it's even coming out. It was called Hero Bear and Kid.
Mm.
But I think it was like there was that. There was those. There was those DC comics by the art. Some I think Art Baltazar was the guy's name. Mm. They're very kind of kiddie art stuff, but I don't even think they produce those no more because they're focused more on, hey, let's get mature, let's do the Black Label line, or you know, these magazine sized 70 page comics with, you know, violence and gore and nudity and harsh language and all that kind of stuff. And it's like, I, you know, like with the DC characters, not just like Vertigo originals, but I don't even know these things exist anymore. I mean, I was just looking at, just flipping through this right here, and you know, though it's a variant cover, I mean,
this is
that would horrify a child. I mean, he's
it would images, confuse my kids, but they wouldn't exclude him. And I got to say, throughout this whole time, Dominique, I think her name was, at Incognito Comics was fantastic. It's a little her and her partner run it. The business, and she just guided us through, showed us a few different things. You know, she was smart enough to jump into, you know, TMNT comics and things like that. And I stressed, I don't want to go into the old TMNT. I'd rather get something new so, you know, I can keep up with continuity. Anyway, I asked her, what about something like the classic Spider-Man or anything like that? Because I'm an old Marvel boy. You and me both cut our teeth on 90s Marvel.
No. The old X-Men and Spider-Man adventures and stuff, based off the cartoons, which were, even though they were, I was looking at it next. It was a thing that came up on Twitter. It's like, what was your first comic you bought? And I mean, I was given a lot of comics, or I traded for a lot of comics, but never, because, you know, stuff I picked up, like, with my own money.
X-Men 26, Blood Ties.
Mine was X-Men Adventure Season 3, number 1, which has Lady Deathstrike choking out Wolverine on the cover with a deep plunging neckline and cleavage.
Yep.
Gambit lying on the ground. That has the reversed page 18 and 19, which has Lady Deathstrike in a one-piece thong bikini going into a device that she's like screaming in pain as they're turning into, you know, the adamantium cyborg stuff. So, yeah, it was... I've been picking that up, but it's stuff like that. I don't think these things exist. I know IDW has been putting out.
Well, that's where I'm going to, man. That's where I've been going to. So I asked Dominique, I said, where is all the younger Marvel content going? You've shown me DC. They're not bringing anything to the party at the moment. She said, no, you're right. She said, Marvel, as you've just mentioned, is sending all of its younger content through IDW. I said, fine, show me that. She said, I can't. I said, what do you mean? She says, IDW don't play nicely with other countries.
What?
So, and this is the what infuriated me. I couldn't even go home and enjoy my own comic. I was that steamed up. Marvel have undersold all of their younger comic material to an agency that will only deliver with any level of fidelity to the US. Basically, they've region locked comic books for kids.
Oh my God. What in the, okay, this is the kind of stuff, you know, people say like, you know, oh, piracy, go, yeah. This right here, I don't know if you know this, but IDW, they are financial, they're under financial stress currently. They've been at it for a while. IDW, they're like this whole hedge fund trying to buy them or bought them or this, that, whatever. And they, like, for a company that is predominantly licensed, I think like 99.99% is licensed properties. They do big collection. They do those artist editions, but they mainly do license, like the Star Trek, Doctor Who, Judge Dredd, The fact that they are basically region locked, they just, like, honestly, they deserve to go out, to go under, so somebody else picks up the license and is able to maybe play ball.
Well, I looked it up. You can get plenty of IDW properties, but the Marvel IDW properties specifically aren't leaving the country.
Well, I after the show, we could discuss something and maybe we can work something out. But
that's neither here nor there. But the general principle. The fact that Marvel has region locked their younger content, and I think that's a disgrace. Number one,
it's a disgrace. The fact that they have not only region locked that, but that somebody at, because that's got to look bad. Considering, you know, they're all about image. That's the whole thing. They want to be a brand. They're worried about their brand. Well, good luck with that when your comics that, you know, kids.
Oh, they don't care about a couple of pissheads and their snotty nosed little kids in some convict country like Australia. You know, our numbers piss up the wall compared to what they can get elsewhere, but surely other people around the world must be taking notice. Or is it like TV? Do American comic producers failure to factor in the rest of the world?
I honestly think they do for the most part. I mean, a lot of the times it's, you know, with certain companies like with Peter Cimetti, who runs Alterna, you know, like, his comics do show up across the world. I mean, clearly you picked up, you know, you got your copies.
Yeah.
But it is just even like the shipping. I mean, you can't ship stuff within the United States as media mail if it's a comic book, because even if it has no ads, you can't. They won't. There is this, you know, postal loophole or postal exclusion for comic books to be considered media.
I didn't just get my copies. Dominique at Incognito told me that they sell out of Alterna titles regularly. There you go. Regularly. Alterna is doing better than the big guys there.
Well, because it's not only because it's, I think it's all the content they have, the presentation they have, and also the call, you know, because if it costs less to buy, it's going to cost less to mark up. So there you go. That's if it's going to have, I mean, you know, the lower the price, because it's, sure, you know, $1.50 cover price here. So markup there is like what, $5, $6, something like that.
I think also at that price point, it's a really good add on too. So you buy your Batman, you buy your X-Men, and throw in an Alterna title while you're at it.
Yeah, it's like one of those. It's an upside to it all. Yeah. You're dealing with, you're dealing with a company that is, you know, very nimble, because it's, you know, basically a one man operation. I think he's hired a couple people now to help out.
Good on him.
But yeah, so hopefully, you know, hopefully still stays nimble. You know, yeah, like everything stays nimble. But that right there, that is region locking these comics, which should be like the flagship. You know, for like, but Marvel should have been doing these a long time ago. Like, they were doing those. I don't know if you saw them, because I knew you dipped out of comic books for a while. I dipped out for a while as well, and came back. But I remember seeing the digest sized they had digest-sized Thor, Spider-Man, Spider-Girl, and so on. Like the digest manga-sized collections.
Sure.
I like those, but the fact that they don't produce anything like that anymore, any of these series, that's an issue. Like the Spider-Girl books, like that was a regular basis. If the Spider-Girl was coming out currently, it wasn't just the back issues that existed. You can give that to pretty much anybody. You know, yeah. Like, well, you know, your boy be like, eh, I'm reading Girl Spider-Man. I want to read Guy Spider-Man or something like that, whatever. But it was age appropriate. It wasn't, you know, you wouldn't worry about, you know, brutal murder or, you know, stuff like that. Like, you know.
But they created whole worlds that were age appropriate. Like, was it A-Next?
The MC2. That was a Spider-Girl thing. You know, yeah. It spun out of the What If issue, the last What If issue that had Spider-Girl. It was one of the few What If issues from Volume 2 that didn't end on a depressing note. It was
that whole MC2 world would have been perfect for my kid.
Yeah. Like A-Next, they had the Fantastic Five, you know, Spider-Girl. And, you know, like I was looking
at Wild Thing, the daughter of Elektra and Wolverine.
Yes, I remembered. I was like, wasn't there a female Scarlet Spider? And I looked it up, and it's like, yes, Felicity Hardy.
Yeah.
So it's Black Cat's daughter, as like she's got the red jumpsuit and the hoodie,
yeah.
The blue hood. I was like, that's the best Scarlet Spider right there. That's the best card, because it's like she's really skinny, but I like it though. It's like a really it was kind of fun design, but stuff like that should be for kids. But I mean, they're pushing the stuff they're pushing in here. I mean, at one point in time, I could have said Runaways, but I couldn't bring myself to suggest, like, a parent, you know, give their kid Runaways. But apparently, they do upcoming in September. They do have a True Believers Hulk 2099 number one, which I don't know if that'd be right.
How do I explain Nico summoning her staff using her own menses?
Yeah, that would be
to a 5-year-old boy. You know what I mean? It's just not appropriate.
True. Yeah, that's.
I've explained worse to him. I'm not saying I can't do it. I challenge accepted, but it's not necessarily what I'd prefer to do at this stage.
Well, actually, at least for September, you should be good, because they have Hulk. Apparently, that's the Hulk True Believers month. They have Hulk Head of Banner number one, Intelligent Hulk number one. They're all like, it's like the issues like with the, like Hulk versus Doctor Strange, Mr. Fix-It, the Great Hulk, that whole thing.
They had Hulk versus Wolverine there, which I thought might be a good one to get him on.
Yeah. I mean, dear Lord, I mean, just one of the covers for this, you know, the Immortal Hulk is a gore shot. There you go. You know, like,
yeah, it's like it's a horror shot. I mean, it's a body horror shot.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's like that right there. It's just.
And yet you look at a seminal title like Hulk 181. Is it 181 versus Wolverine?
Yeah.
Or, yeah, 181. That's timeless. Anyone can read that. There's nothing offensive in there. There's nothing untoward in there. It's a simple story told over two issues. Introduces a new character, which pretty much goes on to be the biggest thing in comics ever since. When did that stop? When did we stop getting new characters?
Well, no, we still get new characters, but unfortunately, it's crap like this Major X, you know, Rob Liefeld coming back to create garbage design characters.
I thought he was just going to turn out to be Cyclops or Adam X or something. Or
oh, no, it's Cable's son. It's Cable's son. That's the reveal. It's
Tyler. Is it Tyler?
I don't think it's a new son. It's another son. We haven't seen before. I guess another son, and it's like.
Is Jen Scott the mother?
I don't care. I didn't read it. I just know the little spoiler. Okay. It's one of those things. I don't care if I spoil. But yeah, my only solution would be, even, you know, Because how well are they? Because my solution would be go over the back issue, see what they got the most of, and then each time we go in, pick up a new back issue, I know what you're looking for, but I don't think they have it, though. That's the thing. I don't even think they have it.
I know. So do I just nothing... stop it? I just don't do it.
It'd be like, my thing would be, I'd still do some more research. I'd still look into it because, I haven't had a pool list in, 6 years, about 6 years or so, about 5 or 6 years. I haven't had a pool list. I gave up on having a pool list. I decided I'm like, I'll go when I get a chance. I'll see what they got. If they don't got it, I'm not going to wait 2-3 weeks for Diamond to get around to it, then to file an order, this, that, whatever. I just go to midtowncomics.com and buy it, buy a copy from there if I want it that bad, or just buy it digitally or not buy it at all, depending on how bad I want to read it. And I really don't think there's any comics out there currently that I can be like, yeah, okay, this is like good for a young reader, that's something like you said, like the, do you remember those, what were they called? Not Marvel Premiere, but the ones that there were 99-cent like X-Men and Spider-Man books.
Untold Tales of Spider-Man.
Untold Tales of X-Men too. Yeah.
That was great.
Because the reason they were written just to tell the story, not this, we're going to tell this epic tales. Yeah. This, that, like they weren't like, here's the characters. You got a quick like little rundown. Like this is Wolverine. This is Gambit. This, that, or whoever. These are the characters of Spider-Man. This is J. Jonah Jameson. You didn't need 2 issues. It wasn't slow burns.
Yeah.
It was like, boom. It was like almost like watching a cartoon episode where you just, boom, there you go. But in a comic form where it didn't hold your hand, but it didn't, go so like deep into backstory or anything like that. I don't think that exists anymore because we have people who have grown up on writers like Bendis, or Grant Morrison, which is everybody's like, oh, my favorite writer is Bendis, or my favorite writer is Grant Morrison, this, that. Yeah, and look what happens. You get these books that are slow burns. There are a lot of talking heads, but not much goes on. Oh, it gets better. Just keep reading. No. I don't got time for this. I don't got the money for this. A kid ain't going to have the patience for this. Adults barely have it. A lot of comic book fans get that sickness of, it'll get better. Don't worry about it. I just keep plunking money down. It'll get better.
I know, but this is like the comic book industry version of Children of Men. I mean, no new life is being brought into the industry. There's nothing put out there to bring new readers. We're just writing more and more things for fat ass virgins like Bendis to just sort of touch himself to.
Well, the comics, I wish they would. I know that for a bit they were reprinting them, and I don't even know if IDW.
As a fat ass himself who doesn't get tail as much as he used to, I hope I didn't offend any listeners out there.
Fend away, who cares? That right there,
because for the longest time I was a fat ass virgin, so I'd hate to be on the receiving end of that. That was unfair, but it was more of
an attack on
the people that have set up a very onanistic circle jerk, or as opposed to any other kind of circle jerk, where they pretty much write just for themselves and complain that only middle-aged white men are buying.
My issue is they're not, like you said, they're not considering the future. They're not considering, and I talked to, I've talked to Pete about this. It's like, you got to worry about what your kid reads. It's like, you have to see if there's a lot of, the content out there is inferior for the most part.
Yeah.
And there are some times where you may have to consider it could be propaganda. And that's not too far apart. That's not too far from the truth, considering that in the past the X-Men issues, the focus on like whole issues on what hate speech, this, that, like you deal with the Brood. You deal with the Shi'ar and the Imperial Guard being corrupted. You deal with the Inzhari and you know, these puppet pocket dimensions and Asgardians and Sentinels and Genosian warlords, and you deal with all this stuff. But no, hate speech. You're going to focus on bad words because, oh, Jean Grey can read your mind. She knows you're a bigot. I'm like,
The problem is they've done it well before. You know, God Love, Man Kills is a great book.
But that right there, that's because it's a good writer. That's actually a great writer.
Yeah.
And you had great art, and you had people that cared. And, well, that book right there would be problematic considering some of the word usage.
I know, but some hipster with an Antifa boner comes in and thinks that they can write the next God Love, Man Kills.
Yeah. Well, I don't even think anybody in there would even try. Because that right there, that's back when people actually kind of cared. I think they're just there to pad a resume, whether it be creators, they're just there to collect a paycheck, pad a resume, and move into the movie side of things, like, you know, punching up scripts.
Yeah.
Doing that kind of stuff, you know, like that's where the big bucks are. It's like they're just slumming in comic books until they can get someplace else, you know? But there's no real, I know you like to say you'd rather just not do it than have to go dig through back issues, this and that. But hopefully there's something out there, because DC used to have it was called the Johnny DC line. It was it was like kid friendly comics. They put out those Shazam, Captain Marvel books, and yeah, that stuff was like pretty straightforward and fun and talky tawny and stuff like that. But
You know, it's like my son, a 5-year-old, you know his favorite superhero?
Who?
The Flash. Really? He asked me the other day, why isn't the Flash in Justice League? I said, what do you mean? I said, there's a guy, he calls himself the Flash, and he's all in red, and he runs just as fast as Superman. He says, no, that's not the Flash. He's convinced that Ezra Miller's Flash is not the Flash.
He's right. Your kid's smart.
I know, but he shows me his little, Tupperware plate or whatever it is that's got the Justice League on it, and he shows me Flash has blonde hair and blue eyes, and he looks very costumed and sleek, and he doesn't look like he has got, his words, bits of car falling off him. And he's not
like a hood and like the bits of a car. Okay,
and I said, I can see that. He goes, he doesn't even behave like the Flash. So how is the Flash supposed to behave? He says, the Flash isn't scared, Daddy. The Flash runs to danger. He doesn't run from danger.
This is your 5-year-old, correct?
This is a 5-year-old. So if a 5-year-old has this brand awareness,
he gets the Flash better than John's. Better, because Johns was responsible, one of the people responsible for Justice League.
Yeah.
All those producers, also the comics too, you know, to a degree. The comics are what they did to Wally. Oh my God, this is horrifying. But yeah, it's that right there. When a child who...
But that's because all they grow up with is the Jose Luis Garcia Lopez artwork on their bowls and their cups and their lunch pails and their school bags, and they get these classic, you know, comic archetypes that we grew up with.
Yep.
And they read everything they need into that, out of that, I should say. And then something comes along and he's this stuttering little, you know, man child.
Yeah, the man boy the man child fanboy.
Fanboy runt who despite the fact that he moves several thousand times faster than any other human on the planet, is quite slow witted.
This guy's supposed to be a CSI and he's this dumb.
Yeah. Well, is he a CSI in Justice League?
Well, that's the thing. It's like he gets the job, I believe. I've only seen the movie twice. I saw it in the theaters and I saw it on Blu-ray once, and that's it. I shouldn't have bought that thing. The only reason I bought it because it was like $8, and also because I like Gal Gadot, so I'm a sucker for Gal Gadot.
Yeah, I can't fault you there.
But that is the problem.
What, Gal Gadot's the problem? Gal Gadot's the saving grace.
Well, I'm, No, I'm saying is the problem is with that iconic content, the images like the Jose Luis Garcia Lopez that they push because that's iconic for a reason. They don't stick to it. It's like they're like, well, we can move away from that a bit. And so like, let's get dark. Let's take away Wally's family. Let's make Wally a murderer. Let's do this. Let's do these horrible things. Let's, you know, burn the Flash alive during a flashpoint. Let's let him be, you know, his flesh is all like
burn him twice. You know, burn,
like, yeah, twice. Yeah, exactly. All these horrible things. And like, you can't hand this stuff to kids. No. Like, yeah, granted, I grew up watching, not, you know, the comics I was reading when I was a kid was not like this. Movies are different. Because movies, it's like you can't really go off in a corner. Well, now you can and watch a movie. Like when I was watching RoboCop, I was watching it in the living room. When I watched RoboCop 2, I was watching it in the living room with the family. We watched even the opening with the head of Peter Weller, a drug PSA. It's like, don't do drugs.
Yeah.
You know?
And I used to love it when my grandmother bought me comics. She'd run out whilst I was sick and get me comics. She had no idea she was getting me. So I got like a Grendel Hunter Rose comic that featured like heroin usage and Jesus analogies. And there's a few other things that I got in there. Some Japanese, you know, Macross adaptations that had some excessive curvaceousness, not entirely clothed and whatnot. And
sounds just pretty awesome, dude.
Yeah. It's great times, but they stick with you, those moments too. Like, well, I remember reading, it was one of the Elseworlds for the first time, Holy Terror. And I was definitely too young to have been reading that. And just seeing the failed Atlantean experiments.
I had, because what I would do is, so that technically I don't count these as buying them, because I would just pick them up and put them down, and my mom would actually pay the money for them. My dad would pay the money for them. Go to flea markets, and there'd be a lot of times there'd be people with cardboard boxes, not long boxes. I'm talking just like cardboard boxes that would have comic books in them. The kind that had like the little holders on the side, little grips, you know, the little oval punches.
Yep, other ones.
And it was like, I go through and like, I pick up the Avengers. I'm like, oh, these, that's how, when I first knew Captain Marvel, it was Monica Rambeau. Cause like I was like, oh, who's this woman? Like, you know, this black woman with the white costume is very striking. You had She-Hulk, you had Black Knight, you had bearded Thor, all that kind of stuff going on. Good stuff. And then I also picked up, I don't know if it was issue 2 or issue 1. I think it was issue 2 of Batman the Cult. I remember reading through it, and the cover was partly ripped. Yeah. Like beforehand. And I remember reading through it because that's the Jim Starlin written, Bernie Wrightson, you know, the horror artist. That's where Batman's being mentally tortured by Blackfire underneath in the sewers of Gotham. To basically be turned into a killer puppet.
That's right. Yeah. Yep.
And I remember that thing horrified me. That was like one of those, like you said, like maybe too young to comprehend that. It's like the same thing with David Lynch. You know, I saw David Lynch way too young, like Dune and Twin Peaks and stuff like that, because, you know, I'd stay up and like I'd watch TV and
But I couldn't knowingly give my kids something like that. But I do understand and appreciate the that sometimes that happens, and there's growth to come from that.
Yeah, because I used to be frightened of Dune, because, you know, the Guild Navigator would come in and that tank, and then he would come out of the mist. Like, that right there still creeps me out to this day. I mean, Dune still creeps me out, but it creeped me out as a kid. It was like, oh, it's like Star Wars. No, it's not. It's scary. Really, really, really scary. And that's why I used to be scared of it. Now I love it more than the original trilogy. But with the comics, I wish there was more content that would be like a gateway for a child to be able to enjoy comics. But with the region-locked Marvel IDW stuff, Marvel and DC not really having anything else. I mean, I don't know what's Boom Studios like. I don't know. I remember they were putting out Muppet comics, the Muppets comics, for the longest time.
Yeah, but I thought that all the Boom stuff has been folded back in since Disney
reacquired it all. I think some of that stuff's still out there, I believe.
Okay.
I think, if I'm not mistaken, and I don't know if they're still producing it, but I thought there was a DuckTales or a Donald Duck comic still coming out, which apparently that's...
That'd be perfect.
I think there's one coming out on a regular basis, but I think it's only in Italy. And so,
well, yeah, they've always come out in Italy.
Yeah, they love that stuff.
I learned Italian from those books. In fact, they were like my Bible growing up. I mean, I still have them. There you go. Mega Almanaco. And on the back is it's quite a thick joint. All color.
Gracious.
On the back is an ad for...
Well, that's kind of a scary looking ad, man.
A toy zombie lab. Mostrido, the mad scientist. Lo scienziato pazzo. But yeah, this is great stuff, these tales. And you can get these anywhere, on every corner in Italy.
See, as much as I, like, somebody was like trying to, like, you know, like, hey, America, you could have comic books like this. It's like, and I was thinking, I was like, yeah, but we have to trade in our guns and a lot of other stuff too. It's like, I don't know about that. We've made too many enemies. I was like, as much as I'd love it, it's like to have comic books on every corner and every grocery store and news agencies or whatever. I don't think that's possible here in the States anymore. Well, at least not anymore, but unfortunate. But you know, yeah. If every place was the same, it wouldn't be as interesting. But I really do think that if there's a comic out there, and listeners, if you have a comic suggestion for Antonio or even I, like, hey, you check this out.
Are you guys buying comics for your kids as it is? Let us know. And let us know what I can get. What's the best way to get in touch with you, Larry?
At Larry King Undead on Twitter and Instagram.
Mm-hmm. At Antonio Sanciolo for myself. There's also the email, which has gone a bit dormant of late, podcast@antkingfrequency.com, or our Facebook page. There you go, facebook.com/antkingfrequency. Anything else you wanted to add before we wrap up there, Larry?
If you did not pick up a copy of It Came Out on Wednesday number 7, I do have some copies, a limited amount of copies available for purchase. Also, as a bundle for U.S.-based residents, people that live within the United States borders, for $12, I will do a custom sketch card, black and white, ink. And sell you a copy of the comic for $12, and that includes shipping and handling and all that stuff. So,
what's the schedule?
Anybody. It can be anybody.
There you go, guys. I don't need to tell you what to do. You know what to do.
Don't you do it.
You know what to do. I don't even need to say it. $12.
What have I done?
$12. That's all it costs.
I can't win cough surf on this. I can't. I just walked right into it.
$12, ladies and gentlemen. If we all pull up, we could get like 100 portraits of Alf, clearly.
No. I'd limit. I was like, if there was a rush, I'm sorry, I can't take your money. I'm sorry, I'm busy. I'm sorry, I'm busy. I'm just so sorry.
No,
I'm
doing better luck next time. You heard it here. $12.
Don't you do it. Don't you do it. Until next time, folks, good night or good day and good luck.
The Ant King Frequency is copyright 2019 by White Tiger Graphics.